This is News Today with WDW News Today. I'm Tom Corliss of WDWNT.com. Please like this video, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell to make sure you don't miss the latest from the Disney theme parks all around the world. Here now the news for March 1st, 2023. The Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival has kicked off as of today, and of course, we were there. If you head to WDWNT.com, you'll find reviews of every single food venue. We tried everything new, and of course, we have reviews of everything returning as well. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of new merchandise items. We have all of that for you, from the Figment line to the Orange Bird line to the Snow White one to the pass holder exclusive stuff. It's all there as well. And of course, you can see all the brand new topiaries, from the Encanto ones at the entrance all the way to the one that debuted today in the American Adventure, the new Tiana topiary, and many, many more. And you can learn all about this guy. I love this. This might be one of my, this is top 10, like, popcorn buckets, souvenir drink vessels, whatever you want to classify them. I think this is top 10. This Orange Bird holding the 1970s souvenir Orange Bird cup. I just love it. I think his face, whoever did the sculpt on this, whoever did the art, did a beautiful job. He's so cute and charming, and it's and the drink in it is pretty good as well. So go check that all on the site. We, of course, will have a video coming up, hopefully in the next 24 hours, of we went and tried everything new, and you can watch us try all that right here on the channel. So stay tuned for that. I know as we're speaking, our reporters are filming the Encanto light show, what they now call the Spectacle of Light on Spaceship Earth. So you can already watch that on this channel, I'm sure, by the time you're watching this show. Real estate agent Ken Pozek has shared an update on the resurrected Epcot Hotel project that has been in development since at least 2017. Back then, we learned of a rumored hotel to be built somewhere near the entrance to Epcot. In 2018, as more of Epcot's reimagining was confirmed, several permits pointed to the hotel's impending construction on Avenue of the Stars, the backstage street surrounding the park. However, news on the project halted in the years after, and several construction projects at Epcot were, in fact, delayed or canceled due to COVID-19. In early 2021, Pozek shared a report stating that the bidding on the project had begun. The report referred to the hotel as Epcot Future World Hotel. Of course, Future World has now been split into World Celebration, Discovery, and Nature, but this project began many years ago, let's not forget. The address for the hotel was listed as 1474 through 2000 Avenue of the Stars, near the Land Pavilion and the Imagination Pavilion. In a new TikTok video, Pozek revealed he saw new permits on February 22, 2023, stating that Walt Disney World has awarded Buena Vista Construction Company the rights to build the hotel inside or very near Epcot. The permits include a swimming pool and other recreational areas. With a construction company chosen, work could begin imminently on the new hotel. Who knows? We don't. All I know is this has been from the earliest rumors of all of this Epcot reimagining, and so many of the things we told you about first on WDWNT came to fruition, right? We told you that they were going to build a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. We talked about the Mary Poppins spinner thing. I know it didn't happen, but I mean, it was first on our website. So was all that work in the center of the park, the Journey of Water, all of those things. And one of those things, again, there were two other things that people seemed to doubt. And one of them was the Epcot in-park hotel. And the other one was that very much in the 10-year plan were plans to sort of remove the land and the seas pavilions, mostly because under the Chapek regime, I think they viewed operating that greenhouse and operating an aquarium is very expensive endeavors. And so there were rumors that the hotel could go on that side. Of course, it still is indicated that it could very well be between Imagination and the land and somewhere in that area now. So who really knows? I still think it's going to end up towards the front of the park. I think that makes more sense. But I don't know. This has been talked about for a long time. It seems like a no-brainer project. All the Disney parks that have hotels in them, it's a very cool thing, right? The Grand Californian, at Tokyo Disney, there's two of them, really. MiraCosta is most definitely in the park, and it is gorgeous and fantastic. And then the Tokyo Disneyland Hotel is close enough, too. And the same for Disneyland, the Disneyland Hotel in Disneyland Paris, which we'll talk about later in the show. Those are all fantastic things. And so having a park that close to Epcot, just imagine getting up out of your room, going downstairs, and being in Epcot, that just sounds like a really cool place to stay. I think this is a fantastic idea. I look forward to it. It'd be super cool if it was themed to like 1960s future. I have so many ideas of what I want this to be in my head. I really want it to be like visions of Progress City, right? What Epcot was supposed to be, but re-envisioned into a hotel structure where people get to stay. So a celebration of what was in the form of what is, right? Epcot is the theme park, but building the city of the future as an homage through a hotel, I think could be super cool. I hope this happens. Let us know in the comments if you think it would be cool or not. I think it'd be so cool if it framed Spaceship Earth, right? Because I just think, like, I love the monorail station, but I think if something framed Spaceship Earth, something was out in front of it and, like, perfectly framed the structure, it'd be very cool. A new Disney 100 popcorn bucket is available at Walt Disney World. We found it at the popcorn kiosk near the Imagination Pavilion in Epcot. Today we saw it at many more locations, though. The bucket comes with popcorn and can be refilled for $2.25. The bucket itself is $13. And though the image on the menu includes a lid, there were no lids available when we visited, but I did see them with lids today. The bucket is mostly purple with white stars in the background and images of Mickey and friends in their platinum 100th anniversary outfits, and a white outline of Cinderella Castle in the background and the Walt Disney World logo across the top. Similar Disney 100 buckets are available at the Disneyland Resort where they are celebrating the 100 Years of Wonder. We're really not doing that here, but nonetheless, the buckets have arrived. They do, I think I saw today, they have a silverish or platinum lid for them. It's a Small World celebrates the global cultures and heritage of people from around the world, but the attraction became more inclusive in its diverse collection of more than 300 audio animatronic dolls last night. The beloved opening day attraction of the Magic Kingdom has added its first child in a wheelchair to better reflect all children from around the globe. The new doll, which is wheelchair-bound, now allows children of or family members of guests with different mobilities to also feel included. The Enabled Business Employee Resource Group, a cast member-led organization with shared passion around accessibility, was among the first to visit the new Mary Blair-inspired doll at It's a Small World. Disney's mission to ensure It's a Small World remains an inclusive and diverse experience began at Disneyland in November. Two children in wheelchairs were added to the Disneyland attraction. They then said they would eventually come to the Magic Kingdom and Disneyland Paris. We assume Disneyland Paris will happen when the ride reopens this summer. Magic Kingdom obviously happened today. It's a great addition. This program is brought to you by our official travel agent sponsor, The Vacationeer, the engineers of your next magical vacation. Sit back and let their team of vacation planning experts craft your family's next magical Disney trip. The best part is their services are free. Visit wdwnt.travel for details. The Mandalorian and Grogu made a surprise appearance this morning in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disney's Hollywood Studios in honor of the release of Season 3 of The Mandalorian on Disney+. Disney has now announced that the two will continue to make regular appearances in Batuu, or should I say on Batuu, just like other characters, and are not a limited time offering. This is, people asked for it and they got it. The Mandalorian with Grogu in a bag on his hip can now be caught roaming through the nearby Blackspire Outpost Market. Whereas Din Djarin and his foundling made daily appearances at Disneyland Park, they and others like Boba Fett and Fennec Shand were reportedly never to appear on the East Coast. This was due to the less flexible time frame for Blackspire Outpost and its involvement in the plot for the Galactic Star Cruiser. The duo is making a limited time appearance at Disneyland Paris as well through March 14th, but even though it doesn't fit the Galactic Star Cruiser timeline, I hate to pull out the George Lucas quote, the one he had when they redid Star Tours, and Imagineering was like, well, George, we can't go to Hoth between episodes 3 and 4 and there be, you know, a battle between the Empire and the Rebellion. The time frame's not right. And he just looked at them and went, who cares? And I'm going to echo that for this. I think it needed to be done. The crowds that showed up today are a sign that people wanted it. And God, do we need those Mandalorian scenes in Star Tours now? I thought for sure that was going to surprise debut today. It was announced a while ago, but it hasn't happened yet. So they said there's new scenes coming. We believe they're Mandalorian. And I can't imagine why they're holding on. Maybe it's a particular spoiler for Season 3 and it's going to wait for a certain episode to debut first. But Star Tours is still, I think, I know this is going to be controversial. I think Star Tours is still my favorite Star Wars attraction. I think it just captures so much of not only what I love about Star Wars, but also it puts such a fun lens on it. Like, they have fun with it. And Mandalorian does, I think, the same. I think it's just such a great series. It's so much fun. It's so enjoyable that Mandalorian and Star Tours together, I cannot wait. cannot wait. But I also can't wait to go visit. Hopefully I'll get out to Hollywood Studios this weekend and see The Mandalorian and Grogu. I missed them at Disneyland last trip. I could not find them. I'll find them here. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis held a press conference the other day at the Reedy Creek Fire Station before signing legislation for the state government to take over the Reedy Creek Improvement District. In a question and answer session following the signing of the bill, DeSantis shared some of the qualities and skill sets he deemed most helpful among the newly appointed board of directors for the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District. On a question to DeSantis on the criteria for which board appointees were chosen, the Florida governor pointed to the business acumen, legal knowledge, and experience in local and state government. Perhaps most surprisingly, the Florida lawmaker also pointed to a desire among board appointees to play a role in the direction of Disney's entertainment future. Quote, "We also have people that very much want to see Disney be what Walt envisioned," said DeSantis on the qualities that guided his appointments. Florida governor elaborated, expressing that he felt the 100-year-old Walt Disney Company had lost its way. His hope seems to be that the appointed members of the newly formed Central Florida Tourism Oversight District might be able to help advise or steer policies that shape Disney's future. Quote, "I think a lot of families have had really great experiences many times, but when you lose your way, you've got to have people that are going to tell you the truth. We hope they can get back on. I think all these board members would very much like to see the type of entertainment that all families can appreciate." While the board won't directly have a say over the direction of the Walt Disney Company as a whole, they do have negotiation power and leverage by way of infrastructure, infrastructure permitting, taxes, and public services. The first meeting of the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District is scheduled for next week. And DeSantis urged those in attendance of the press conference that they should buckle up ahead of the first meeting as there's a new sheriff in town. You know, this is probably a bad idea, but I'm going to go for it. On Monday, I abstained because this has been draining, right? Because no matter what I say, I can't win with either side. If I say certain things, the side that's very pro all of this will attack me viciously. And then by abstaining, people on the other side let me have it. And honestly, I don't care for either of those. But I'm going to weigh in on this regardless. As I said, the reason I didn't weigh in is I've weighed in so many times on this, but so many people felt that by not saying anything, I made a statement. So I'm going to say this. As I said before, within WDWNT and our community as a whole, no matter what your lifestyle is, what your background is, what you believe, who you are, who you choose to be, whatever the case may be, you are welcome here. I do not believe in segmenting people or gatekeeping people of any background from being a part of this. And the fandom should be like that in total, really and truly. On the opposite side of this, and this is not a political thing, this is me as a person who has spent 16 years covering this company, the Walt Disney Company. So I'm not weighing in. This is not a political agenda. I want to make that clear because I will tell you this. I live in a fantasy world. I live in this realm. And the only things that really affect me in this world are when you come into this realm. And politics are coming into this realm. And so I'm going to come at this from the point of view of someone who the Walt Disney Company and the Walt Disney World Resort are very important to. And that should account for all of you, no matter what your political standing is at home. So let's have an open mind as we go down this road for a moment, shall we? Number one, I believe the Republican Party believes in not really sticking its nose in the business of businesses, right? So that's fine. If everyone wants to have this argument about Disney shouldn't have special privileges and blah, 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 the government does not dictate the future direction of any other organization in this country, this free country we live in, by the way. So the fact that not only taking this victory lap over the Reedy Creek thing, that they're now like, oh, well, now we hope we'll be able to change the practices and the direction and the type of entertainment that Disney is creating. That is very much counterculture to the political beliefs of the Republican Party, to my knowledge, right? You know? So I don't know. That seems real out of place to me, and I think that's a dangerous precedent and not a road that any American company needs to go down. No one in the government should be controlling what any business does. That is a dangerous precedent, and we certainly don't need the government weighing in on entertainment companies. We really don't need that. That is not a place they need to be involved. it doesn't concern them in the least what's you know, you choose to stream on your television or watch at the movie theater or what you choose to do on your Disney vacation. It's not for them to decide, right? So I just want to say that this has all gotten out of control, this posturing and all this nonsense. And for this guy to have the nerve to say what Walt would have wanted, I will tell you what Walt Disney wanted because it's well documented. This is not an opinion. This is a fact based on historical documentation of the creation of Walt Disney World. You know what Walt Disney wanted? Walt Disney wanted to build a city. In order to build a city in Central Florida, you know what he needed? He needed the infrastructure. And you know what Central Florida didn't have in the 1960s? The infrastructure to support the Walt Disney World Resort and the Epcot project. That did not exist. And it would have been unfair in the 1960s for the Walt Disney Company to come in and be like, hey, you know, Florida, we're building all this and it's going to be your responsibility to provide us with, you know, all the utilities and the emergency service, all that. That's going to fall on you. We're going to make you pay for it. But you know what didn't happen? That didn't happen. Disney instead was like, you know what? We will develop our own. This is 40-something square miles. This is a lot to deal with. I don't want the government to have to really pay for this. So you know what we'll do? Please allow us to set up our own thing. Let us set up our own governing body here. And sure, there's going to be things in it that are a little out of the norm. But at the same time, this is kind of a favor to Central Florida. This is a favor that's like, you know what? We don't want you to have to spend millions and millions of dollars because we've decided to come and build 40 square miles of recreation and a city. And that is why Reedy Creek was created. It was not created because Disney wanted special privileges. It was created because Central Florida did not have the means to help Walt Disney World without spending millions of taxpayer dollars. That is the absolute truth of the situation that does not have a political agenda nor a bias. That is factual information about the time that all this happened. Now, you want to revisit it years later? Sure. But to say that this is where we want the company to get back to what Walt Disney wanted, Reedy Creek was what Walt Disney wanted. So let's leave him out of this. Ron, you're not part of the Walt Disney Company. You never have been. So, you know, if people in the Disney Company can't speak for Walt Disney because he's been dead for so long, you sure as hell can't. So let's not. How about that? I've had enough of this nonsense. This is all posturing and garbage. It's absolute garbage. And we'll see what happens. My hope is, to be fair, that if Reedy Creek really believes they've been underfunded and understaffed for so long and the government believes they can fix that, I truly hope they can. That would be wonderful. That's great. I hope this works out. But if all of this is really just for a political statement so someone could run for president in 2024, it's unnecessary. It's absolutely unnecessary. But I'm going to hope for the best. I'm going to be an optimist like Walt Disney was. It was well documented. It's not an opinion. He's a very optimistic guy about the future. So I'm going to be optimistic that this will work out and it'll be great for Central Florida. It'll be great for Walt Disney World. And kudos to Jeff Volley, president of Walt Disney World, for coming out and making that statement where he's like, we will work with whatever the situation is. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact words. Something similar to that. Kudos to him for being willing to just, it's like, it's done. It is what it is. We will work with whoever we have to make this relationship between the government and ourselves operate. That's the right thing to do in this situation. It's absolutely the right thing to do. And again, I hope for the best. I hope that this doesn't lead to some problems in infrastructure or emergency services that are unnecessary. For those of you still watching, we'll move on to the next story. Bring your own device. BYOD Stateroom TV streaming is now available to guests in Disney Cruise Line's Disney Wish. Guests can use this new service when connected to the DCL guest Wi-Fi network without paying for an internet package. It's great. Service is available in the Disney Cruise Line Navigator app on your own device. To find it, click the three-line tab, then click on Stateroom TV Streaming. It'll open a new link in your browser. And this link can also be accessed on another device without the Navigator app as long as it's connected to DCL Guest Network. and it cannot be accessed from home, obviously. From that link, Disney Wish guests can browse different titles in the Disney On Demand library or watch TV. Thanks to DLP Report, we have our first look at a mural at the new Luca Dining Room of Pizzeria Bella Notte in Fantasyland at Disneyland Park in Paris. The small mural is visible above the construction wall, showing two young kids in a crescent moon-shaped boat with a sea monster around them. The Italian on the ribbon around them roughly translates to seas and mountains no longer divided, sun and moon always shining. The mural is over an archway between the entrance doors, as seen in the concept art released last year. According to other concept art, there will also be a larger mural of Luca peeking out of the water to look at Porto Rosso, and the new area will be called Andiamo. It'll have a seaside atmosphere with details and objects evoking the fishing culture and cuisine of Porto Rosso. And rest in peace, Fantasia Gelati. I will always miss that space, but this is starting to look good. DLP Rescue Rangers on Twitter has uncovered concept art of the new lobby of the Disneyland Hotel in Disneyland Paris, which is currently undergoing a royal transformation. The concept art shows a lobby inspired by the library from Beauty and the Beast, with a portrait of the couple above the fireplace and books on the balconies above. There is a spiraling crystal chandelier forming an image of the Beast's castle at the center of the room, above pink couches and gilded furniture. Candelabras around the room, particularly two golden ones on the mantle, resemble Lumiere. A clock also on the mantle resembles Cogsworth. The transformation also includes retheming the rooms to various Disney princesses. The Disneyland Hotel will reopen next year, at least it's scheduled to do so. A couple quick things I want to mention. Number one, this hotel was absolutely gorgeous when opened in 1992. It did need to be updated. I don't know that I'm wild about this. Again, they've sort of sucked the character out of this lobby, and it breaks my heart. This was so well integrated into the theme of Main Street, which is right there, right? It's the Disneyland Hotel in Paris is absolutely a part of Main Street. And the lobby was gorgeous, and the most shining, beautiful piece of that lobby. Imagineer Frank Armitage did this fantastic, beautiful art piece of Main Street with the hotel in the background. Gorgeous, gorgeous piece. And we're going to lose that, it seems, thanks to this art in this remodel, and it makes me very sad. I also don't care for the balconies. Like, it's very modern, and it hurts my heart, and it makes me worry. The Disneyland Hotel in Paris and the Grand Floridian developed roughly around the same time, and they are very similar in architecture and theme. Very similar. And so to see this lobby art makes me fearful, especially knowing we have a Beauty and the Beast bar they built in the lobby of the Grand Floridian, right, in Enchanted Rose. I am so fearful that this is coming to the Grand Floridian when they start the project in May to remodel the lobby. We'll have to wait and see. Again, I'm going to hope for the best, but I'm concerned. The Halloween Festival will return to Disneyland Paris in 2023 from October 1st to November 5th. The after-hours Halloween parties are rumored to be returning for 3 nights, but nothing has been announced as of yet. More details will be announced at a later date. But I'll tell you about what they do have planned, what has been announced so far for this year. You can pluck up the courage for mischievous encounters with Disney's most villainously important people in their den and around Disneyland Park. That would mean the villains. This year, as the sun sets, the Disney villains will bewitch Sleeping Beauty Castle with projections, music, and water fountains for a freakishly fun moment. You can witness the return of a fan-favorite Halloween cavalcade. Pumpkins of all ages will jump for joy as spine-tingly music haunts the airwaves and Disney characters parade along the streets of Disneyland Park dressed in eye-popping autumn attire. You can meet Disney characters in high spirits as well and spend a spirited, marvelous moment with Donald, Goofy, and their friends, all fabulously dressed in their bewitching best and adding to their own unique cheekiness for the Halloween fun. And from one-off Disney villain-inspired bites to devilishly fine dining, there's a tasty treat for every trickster this Halloween. Meanwhile, Disney's Enchanted Christmas, the holiday celebrations at Disneyland Paris, will return on November 11th. Disney Enchanted Christmas will run through January 7th of 2024. More details will be announced at a later date, but I'll tell you about what they did announce. Although festivities usually include a Christmas parade, meet and greets with Santa Claus, the Let's Sing Christmas show, and the nighttime spectacular Disney Dreams of Christmas. Actually, they didn't announce any. That's all we know at this point. Details have been announced, however, about the D23 exclusive Disneyland Paris 30th anniversary grand finale celebration event in April. The event is taking place on April 12th and 13th and includes entrance to Disneyland Paris. Tickets will go on sale on the D23 event page on Thursday, March 2nd at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Over in France. Each ticket will be $590 plus a $7 processing fee. In addition to the extraordinary event offerings, guests of D23 can take advantage of a special rate to stay at Disney's Newport Bay Club, Disney's Sequoia Lodge, or Disney's Hotel Cheyenne. The event includes park admission and reservations for both Disneyland Paris and the Walt Disney Studios Park on April 12th and 13th. Disney Premier access for attractions at both parks as well on both of those days. Two hosted in-park dining experiences, two exclusive Walt Disney Imagineering hosted in-park tours of Avengers Campus and Ratatouille the Adventure. They're going to get to walk the floor of the ride, actually. Reserve viewing for Disney Delight, the return of Disney Dreams. Oh, can't wait. And parade, and as well reserve seats for selection of theatrical showings. A private event on the evening of April 12th, complete with food and beverage offerings, an exclusive event credential, a souvenir gift, and enchanting surprises. I so wish I could go to this. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm sad I'm going to Japan because this event sounds so cool. And I know for the Disneyland Paris annual pass holders, it doesn't feel like a great deal because it includes tickets. But this sounds like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So if you're on the fence because of the price, I will tell you, this is probably going to be one of those things you regret not going to. I've heard enough about it to where I think, even though it has that price tag, this is going to be one of those things you always talk about. So if you're on the fence, my advice is bye. For the absolute latest on these stories and all that didn't make it into today's show, be sure to check WDWNT.com and follow us on all your favorite social media platforms. You can support the entire team behind this show and others by joining the WDWNT Inner Globe Society at patreon.com/WDWNT. Get access to exclusive content, discounted show and event tickets, and more. Special shout out to all of our WIGS members watching who make the show happen every week. For the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news, this is Tom Corliss saying, enjoy the rest of your today and have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.